You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
The Gaia family has made fine wines in Italy for five generations. The 2011 vintage marks the 50th anniversary of Angelo Gaia's first official harvest and his 33rd as the winery's director. He's been called the architect of the current renaissance of Italian wine in the world market. And his daughter Gaia has joined her father to continue the Gaia legacy. They're both here to talk about the company's pioneering winemaking traditions. Welcome to our show.
Thank you.
And Gaia, were you happy as a child when you realized that both of your names were pronounced the same?
I had no problem with that name.
Being Gaia, like Gaia?
Yeah.
It is spelled differently.
Yeah. You know, that means happy. So uh-huh. I am happy.
Oh, I always thought it meant earth or...
As well, Gaia is a Greek god, the god of earth.
Mm-hmm.
And in Italian means also happy, gay. And so happiness, earth, wine, they are connected.
Can you tell us the story of your family?
My family, well, right now?
No. I mean, the family began making wine how long ago?
We started in 1859. So a bit more than 150 years ago, and started my great-great-grandfather. His name was Giovanni.
And I'm assuming, Angelo, that in the mid-19th century, it was a much more modest operation, and your ancestors did everything. They picked the grapes. They crushed them with their feet in the old-fashioned way. They bottled them, and they did everything else.
All was more simple than today. I don't say that today we are more sophisticated, but of course there are new installation in the winery and so on. So I lived all of these passages. But I was quite lucky because I had my father, the name Giovanni Gaia, that was born in 1908 and died in 2002 at 94. And
so he saw all the changes in the way wine has been made over the years.
Exactly. And he was absolutely the most complete artisan, wine artisan in Piedmont. And I learned from him. He was my maestro. I went to school till university, but I couldn't find in books what he taught me.
But he probably taught you about farming, didn't he? Winemakers say that the real key to making a great wine is being a good farmer.
He talked to me to be artisan. Artisan, it means is someone that is expert in nothing, but has to know a little bit of everything, and it takes time, and to have the application of doing that and so on. I learned from him.
Now, Gaia, do you have any sense of what kinds of wines were being made in 1859?
Oh, my God. We have memory of it. We have a few bottles at home still. At the time, large production was in jars, 50 liters containers. But already Giovanni Gaia, the first generation, for his ambition, sometimes he was bottling wine. But now he's completely pale, so I don't think he's drinkable. He didn't arrive up to today.
Well, wines survive from 100 years ago?
Excuse me?
Do many wines still hold on to much of the color after 100 years?
Never happened to me.
Although Barolos, you make Barolos, don't you? And Barolos have very long lives, don't they?
It's the same. Barolo and Barbaresco, they need, of course, to be cellared in a correct way. And, but by the time the color goes down a little bit, not disappearing completely, but of course there are vintages. It's a question of vintages. There are vintages that are able to age perfectly for 70, 80, 100 years.
Now, we're talking about Barbarescos mostly. That's what the guy has made first. Is that the indigenous grape to the Piedmont?
Yes, is a variety that was planted in Piedmont for 700 years. But in Piedmont, vineyards were introduced, grapes were introduced by Romans in the first century. So it means that the hills are covered of the vineyards there since the first century.
Well, there are 2,000, I'm told, grape varieties in Italy,
huge
more
number
than most countries. So you have to choose which ones you're going to work with, don't you?
But this was done by Greg Rowers. And Greg Rowers were so smart. And by the time, step by step, according to different climatic conditions, where they were able to choose the best grape variety that could be planted there. So we have this heritage that is a part of tradition, quite important.
But I'm curious about why some grape varieties are grown everywhere. We have Cabernet Sauvignon growing all over the world, and Chardonnay, and even some Italian varieties like Sangiovese. But we don't see Barbarescos, Barolos grown anywhere but in the Piedmont.
I believe that Nebbiolo, it's a variety that is very different from others. You can compare it with the Cabernet, with the Pinot Noir, with no other varieties. And it's, first of all, a very difficult variety to work with. It's a variety that has a very long vegetal circle. It's very picky, make huge difference where you planted, very sensitive to soil, to climate.
So the grape is Nebbiolo?
The grape is Nebbiolo. So Barolo and Barbaresco are made with Nebbiolo grape.
And so what's the difference? How do they differ?
Barbaresco is a Nebbiolo, 100% Nebbiolo wine produced from Nebbiolo grapes growing in Barbaresco area. Barbaresco, Treiso, Neive are three villages. More or less 15 kilometers far away, there is another area that is called Barolo. Barolo Village gives the name to the denomination. So Nebbiolo in the past was cultivated largely in the north of Italy. But in the early 1800s came powdery mildew, a sickness that was coming from America.
Yes.
At the end of the 1800s.
It pretty much ruined the French wine industry, phylloxera,
and then mildew, and then the war. And so little by little, the area of Nebbiolo shrinked. Wherever it's such a difficult variety to work that wherever you could not achieve excellence, people, they stopped to produce it, and now it's only produced where we live.
Now, why would the same grape taste so different, create such different wines, when it's only grown about 15 miles away?
It's mainly a question of land character. The differences are not so great, but they exist, a difference. And Barbaresco always excelled for elegance, and Barolo is a little bit more richer wine. But the character of elegance is something special.
Well, that is, elegance is one of the reasons that your wines are kind of expensive. Is it difficult to produce high-quality wines in quantities large enough to be able to sell in the United States, in Italy, and pretty much everywhere else in the world?
There are some wines, if I think about Champagne, maybe Champagne is it's a kind of wine that allows you to produce also much bigger quantity and to make always keep a high standard quality. It's different with other kind of grapes, and with Nebbiolo is not easy at all. We have a good property of land because my family started to make wine and own land in 1859. So every generation that followed continued to own land. So now we have 225 hectares of land, and I think it's very important private property. And it's a family business to know that that piece of land is yours and that you will be able of passing it to your son or to your daughter, increase the respect and love that you have for that land.
Is that the way wines were made in Italy, or was it more that people grew wines and then somebody would buy wines from a lot of different growers and make a wine? You have single vineyard wines, don't you?
No, we are single vineyards, and we are estate. There are even in Italy, of course, negotiants, commercials that are used buying grapes or buying wine, bottling and selling in the world. But the big difference is, I believe, is in between artisans and negotiants that are completely different. Artisans, normally, they work almost exclusively with their own grapes. And the negotiants, they sometimes they own even vineyards, but often they buy grapes and wine.
I'm talking to Angelo Gaia and his daughter Gaia Gaia. Their Gaia wines are among the most famous in the world, and they're some of the most expensive. Is a wine that sells for $200 10 times better than a wine that sells for $20? That's something people often ask me.
I think that the value of a wine, the cost of the wine doesn't depend only from quality. So quality is a very important, you begin with that. All artisanal products, they start from quality of the material, of the manufacturing, of the design, from clothes to wine. But then there are other values, because I think that it's very important also to make wines that they can reflect an identity. They have to be, then they become authentic. And that is an addition to the value. It's not only quality. And authenticity comes from the land. The more the farmer is able of reflecting, of understanding, of having experience with the piece of land that he owns, the more he's able of getting the quintessential characteristic of that land.
So a sommelier drinking a Gaia wine will recognize it immediately simply because you have a certain kind of a
it's the
a
quality,
personal touch.
Yeah, and then it's also the mankind. So the how every producer has his own style and taste. And a sommelier can recognize the quality, the authenticity of the vineyard, the style of the producer, which are all characteristics that they make a wine unique respect to another.
You've also expanded to Tuscany?
Yeah.
We decided that to go to Tuscany in 94 first, when we did a step and we bought an existing winery in Montalcino called the Pieve Santa Restituta. And 2 years later, in 96, we started an operation in a new winery completely in Bolgheri, that is on the coast, a very, very nice place. And the winery is called Camarcanda.
So it gives you an opportunity to work with other kinds of grapes and make wines in different styles?
It gave us the opportunity because we didn't like to grow up the size, to increase the size of Gaia Winery. Gaia Winery had the same size in the last 22 years. But we had energies because we are 4 in the winery, in the family working. My 2 daughters, Gaia and Rossana, my wife, myself, and we had more energies and dreams for doing more. So we expanded. We liked to be in Tuscany, but with the same spirit of being artisan too there.
I think it's because in 93 was born my brother. And you know that a boy into the family is always seen differently. And so when my brother was born, my father felt a bit more confident about the future. And he said, I can do a step in Tuscany.
But most of the people in your family business are women in a business that's still male-dominated.
Yeah.
Is that a problem for you, Gaia?
Absolutely not, no. I had a great-grandmother that I never met, but she was already so involved in the winery. And I think it's a work so appropriate for women. You know, making wine, growing grapes is like growing kids.
Well, but also scientists will tell you that women have better palates than men. They have they smell better. So that's why they work in perfumeries. And does she have a very sophisticated palate?
I do.
But my grandfather was a grower, and he was a very good grower. When he married my grandmother in 1905, the grandmother was not happy, never happy enough of him. She was always insisting, you have to do more, you have to do better, and so on. And my grandfather had a sense of humor, and he was used to saying that it can happen for a man to have a wife that is better than him. What to do? There are only 2 chances, to follow her or to kill her. So, he was able to follow
he
her.
He made the right decision.
Yes, good.
And the guy name is spelled G-A-J-A, and Gaia her name is spelled G-A-I-A. So you have 2 spellings of the same pronunciation. My great thanks to Gaia and Angela Gaia for being on our show today.
Thanks to you.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.